Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, Confirmation, and Father's Day, is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the fourth chapter, and we will read verses 35 through 41 in that chapter. It's the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, where we read in the name of our Lord. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, this indeed is your word, and this indeed is our life. You guide us through the storms, and you lead us, Father, into calm waters. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It's always difficult to fit all these things in the church calendar into one thing. You know, so you're going to be here a while. No, I'm kidding. It really comes to a point of understanding, well, how and what do we speak? What do we say? This story preaches itself. It's a simple story. It's a very, very direct story. It tells us of an understanding that these men, the followers of Jesus, were on a ship, they're on a boat, and they're with Jesus. And this is really the foundation of understanding life. This is our life. What is being unveiled here is not simply the disciples going from one place to another with Jesus. It's our life. It's our life. It's teaching us a very, very important lesson, a very, very significant lesson of understanding that God never, ever, ever forsakes us. God always is with us. It is his presence that keeps us and sustains us. It's he that maintains us. And he does all of this solely and completely by his grace, because he is that good. And that is probably the most important thing that you confirmands and all the rest of us will ever learn, is to understand the very, very depth of the goodness of God, to recognize and know the very goodness of God. Because in the midst of our life, what happens to us is we very often can become like the disciples. We begin to look at the circumstance of our life, and on the basis of the circumstance in our life, then all of a sudden when things are good, then God is good. You know, we measure God by that. We say, well, when things are going well, then God is good. And when things get tough, then we turn around and say, well, we maybe don't come to the point of saying that God's not so hot, but we really kind of come to the point of asking, well, where is God? You know, what's going on? Why is God allowing this to take place? And it's in the midst of those times that we really have to be redirected. The words that you spoke when you came up here and you spoke and you answered these questions, those are very important words that you speak. But the words are nothing without the faith, without the understanding, without the knowledge of that goodness of God, without the knowledge of that grace. The words fall emptily. And I've told you a million times the one thing, and you can tell me that, you know, you say that all the time, and that's fine, I don't care. I'm over 65, I can get away with almost anything. So when it comes to that point, when you realize this, you recognize very clearly the one thing that bothers me more than any other thing is walking downstairs and looking at that display of all of our confirmands, and I have to wonder where they are. I gotta tell you, there's nothing that bothers me more than that. Than walking through and wondering, because today is not your graduation. You did not graduate from church. I told you that. You don't graduate from church. Today really is your initiation into church, where you become a participant. And we need your participation, not just because we need young people, or not just because we're looking for notches on our belt to say that we got people. We need your participation because the Spirit of the living God is living in you, and you are part of that body. You're part of our body. If you aren't here, then we lose part of our body. And it's not that we can't get by without parts of our body. You know, people do that all the time. But the reality is that it hampers our work. It makes it that much more difficult. So what I want you to understand, what I'm most interested in this day, is that when you leave this building, that you know the goodness of God. That you know that God is your God. And He really is good to you. He really is incredibly in love with you. He thinks you are just the greatest thing that has ever happened. And He will embrace you every day of your life. He will give you that assurance so that you understand that you can come here and share your gifts with us, share your abilities with us, because we need you. We need you. The reality is that the church hinges upon this. Confirmation, the way we teach it, isn't a sacrament. But nonetheless, it's associated with the sacrament. It's associated with the sacrament of baptism. And it's an extension of that. So that you understand that now, as you have been received into this place, you have been received into this association with God and the congregation. And the congregation, if you will let it be, will be your greatest support group on the planet. You know, we're going to be your cheerleaders. We're going to be the ones that will help you. When you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in difficulty, don't think that we're ever going to turn our backs on you, because we never will. I don't care what kind of trouble that you're in, because you're going to have to go a long ways to get in more trouble than I ever did. And there's probably some people that are even better at getting in trouble in here than I was. So the fact of the matter is that you need to understand that we will embrace you. We will take care of you. Whatever you got, whatever difficulty you have, whatever day of trouble you find yourselves in, we will be there for you. Always, always. So come to us. You know, my dad told me the greatest thing, you know, one of the greatest things he ever told me, he said, Jay, I don't expect you to be perfect, he says, because you're my son. He says, I don't ever expect you to be perfect. He says, but when you're in trouble, if you're in trouble, he says, you come to me. You come to me. He says, I'm your dad. And so this is how you work this into Father's Day. So they understand very clearly. He says, I'm your dad. I'm your dad. God is your dad. God is keeping watch over you. God provides for you. When you are in trouble, you run to Him. You don't run away. You don't turn around and say, I'm not good enough for God. You know, I got problems. You know, how can God care about those things? No, you do exactly the opposite. You run to God. You run to God and you run to us. You run to us as quick as you can. Because we will help you. God will help you. And that's really what Jesus was trying to say to the disciples. Because Jesus just turned around and in the midst of the storm, he just said, be still. Because God has power. God has power to overcome the difficulties of life. God has this power to bring this calm. And for that, maybe this is the last time I'll do this to you, Hope. For that, we have hope. I just can't pass that up, you know, every time. So in this class, you have hope. Not only do you have hope, but you have hope. You have hope. You have a God that is constantly with you, a God that is constantly watching over you, a God that is constantly keeping you. Jesus simply says to the disciples, why are you afraid? And that's really the key. Why would we be afraid? If you understand the words that you just said, and you know what you confessed, then as a matter of fact, there is never any reason to be afraid. Because your God is with you. And the scripture says very clearly that perfect love casts out fear. And your God loves you perfectly. And so this is the place that we come. And now you understand, I'm not just talking to this confirmation class, I'm talking to me and I'm talking to all the rest of us. Because it's very important to understand in the storms of life, what we face within the storms of life. And as we go through life, to realize very clearly that storms are going to be there. The question that needs to be asked is, why are we afraid? And what exactly are we afraid of? Because if we know full well the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and we understand very clearly that God sent his only begotten Son to Calvary's cross to suffer and die for us, to take away our sin. And when he raised Jesus from the dead, that together with Jesus he raised us from the dead, that in the power of that Holy Spirit we should now live, then what is there to be afraid of? The dentist? Okay, I'll give you that. No, I'm kidding. The reality of things is that we understand we are not afraid. And going forth in this life, that's how we're going to need to live. You see, the reality is going forth in your life, that what you're going to see, what's going on around you, the agent of change is you. We are the agent of change. It does us no good to curse the darkness. We need to light a light. The light is within us by the Holy Spirit of God. So how do we handle the difficulties of life? There's a great story, you know, all of you who grew up in the Methodist tradition should know this. You know, John Wesley, when he was on his way over here, he came to the United States many times. And on one of those trips, there was a huge storm in the ship that he was in. And he was scared to death. He was afraid he was going to die. There was a group of Moravians, and I'm not going to explain the Moravians to you. You've got phones. You can look them up. I hardly have to tell you anything anymore. So you can look up Moravians. And there was a group of Moravians on the deck of the ship in the midst of the storm. And all they were doing was sitting there calmly singing and praying. They were calmly singing and praying. And all of a sudden, after a while, the storm passed and the sea was calm. And John Wesley said, that's the faith that I want to have. That's the faith I need to have. I need to have a faith like that. And so he began to study that and to follow that and to realize where this strength had come from. And he recognized very clearly it was by faith. It was by truly believing that Jesus Christ was keeping watch. And Jesus Christ was faithful. And Jesus Christ would abide with him in grace. And I don't need to tell you the impact of Wesley. You know, He impacted millions of people throughout the world with the Christian faith, with a steady and certain assurance that God was always with him. God is always with you. For all of us, we need to remember that. God is always with us. Jesus promised he would never, ever leave us or forsake us. So why be afraid? There is no reason. You made your confession. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit will testify to Jesus Christ in your life every day of your life. The Holy Spirit is within us. He testifies of the goodness of God and the power of God's grace every day in our lives to bring us through. The ship will not go down. As a matter of fact, it will not founder on the sea. It will always, always carry on. And it will always reach its destination. Because its destination is the place that God, through Jesus Christ, has prepared for us through his sacrifice and his resurrection. We never outgrow confirmation, I hate to tell you. We also never grow old, I hate to tell you. We are always as vibrant, always as living, always as filled with the Holy Spirit as the day we were first brought forth into this world. We are precious in the sight of God. We are holy and blameless in his sight through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we walk and live in his peace. That's what confirmation means. Confirmation simply means to be established, to be strengthened. Be strengthened and be strong because your Lord loves you and keeps you. And that brings us to the final thing. God calls us his Father. We didn't invent that. God did. God chose to call us Father. And we have earthly fathers. And we think highly of our earthly fathers. You know, we embrace our earthly fathers, and well, we should. We should embrace our earthly fathers. We love our dads. And our dads mean a great, great deal to us because they are the gift of God to reflect God's fatherhood so that we see and we know and we understand the fatherhood of God by our fathers. And we are brought to this place to understand that reality. So that every one of us knows that we are a child of God, God's own child. This is always a tough day for me because my father has been long gone. But I loved that man. I tell my son all the time, I wish, I hope that for you, I'm half the dad that my dad was. When we come to this point, we're confessing a very, very great thing. It's not simply an empty word that we say. When we say God is our Father, we are acknowledging that God is the one who has given us life. God keeps us and sustains us, that God blesses us, God renews us, God constantly engages us as child. And that's what makes this day so special. As I've told you 1,000 times before, you confess the communion of saints. My dad, the last thing he did when I saw him, he said, Jay, you always remember, when you celebrate communion, I'll be there. He says, I'm going to be on the other side, but I'll be there. I will be there. For those of you who have lost your dad, They're over there on the other side. They're over there. Because you realize very clearly that they cannot die. That God sustains them because God is their father too. And in the end, we all need a dad. We all need that father. We need him. We need him. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. So on this very, very blessed day in which we acknowledge the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and we acknowledge your confirmation, and we acknowledge Father's Day, live in peace. Live in joy. Live in faith. Live in strength. Your ship is going to make it. The boat will arrive where it's supposed to. And a place has been prepared for you through the blood of Jesus Christ so that you would indeed have hope, that you would have faith, that you would have grace, and that you would know that you are very, very, very deeply loved. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, indeed, Lord, we do thank you for your abundance of mercy. And Father, we ask once again that all of us who have received your gift would be confirmed in faith and stand firm in the truth of your word. That so, Father, you would remind us that our ship is going to arrive, that we are indeed going to make it, and that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity and gives us that hope. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.